Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian citizens' votes in conflict areas keep reachable. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs appreciates the hard work of the discovery team of Lion Air PKLQP. And now the news in detail. General Elections Commission KPU has stipulated for a permanent voters list DPT in 2019 presidential election that reached more than 2 million people. Of the total numbers, there are about 2,000 voters in conflict areas such as Yemen. Director of Protection for Indonesian Citizens and Indonesian Legal Entities, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, said that even though the Indonesian embassy in Sana'a, Yemen had been closed since 2015 and moved to Salalah, Oman, and was closed again as of December 21, 2018, the existence of Yemeni's Foreign Election Committee, PPLN, is confirmed to exist. Iqbal also said that the committee's work area is under the Election Committee of Muscat, Oman. Meanwhile, the voting for the 2019 presidential election for overseas voters will be held on April 8 to 14. There are still Indonesian communities in Yemen. There are also Foreign Election Committee PPLN members and some students in Hadramaut. Although the Indonesian embassy is closed, the committee still works. Meanwhile, Indonesian General Election Commission KPU Commissioner Pramono Ubay Tantowi said that to guarantee the secrecy of voters in Yemen, the delivery of ballot boxes will not be conducted by post but carried out directly by the committee, considering that the tense situation in Yemen and the ballot boxes have to pass through 17 security posts. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan appreciated various parties involved in the discovery of Lion Air PKLQP Cockpit Voice Recorder CVR. The results of this CVR analysis will be an important clue to the cause of the plane which crashed in Karawang, West Java last October 29, 2018. In a press conference at the Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs Jakarta Monday, Luhut invited various parties involved in the discovery of Lion Air CVR, among others, Chairman of the National Transportation Safety Committee KNKT Suryanto Cahyono, Head of the Rescue Underwater Service Colonel Monang Sitompul, and four divers who managed to find the CVR. To the media, Luhut told how the Fleet Command 1 of Underwater Rescue Team and Frogman and Underwater Demolition Unit personnel worked hard to discover the CVR. They modified conventional methods carried out by a team hired from Singapore, which was quite expensive, which we rented $3.5 million for 10 days and was unsuccessful. The advantage thing is that they have minimized the search sector. While the National Transportation Safety Committee, KNKT team, built a team using a Navy ship. Then the equipment was provided by Agency for Assessment and Application of Technology, BPPT, and they became a team. Meanwhile, the chairperson of the National Transportation Safety Committee, Suryanto Cahyono, said that currently the committee is in the process of analyzing the results of the CVR reading, and it is expected that in less than 1 year, the report on the CVR results can be issued. State-owned ship builder PT PAL Indonesia has handed over a hospital ship of type 124 landing platform dock LPD ordered by the Indonesian Navy to support its non-military mission. As quoted by Antara News Agency, President Director of PT PAL Indonesia Budiman Saleh on Monday said that the ship will be in service as KRI Semarang had cleared the checking stage and series of stringent testing. Saleh at the handover ceremony held at the company's merchant ship division dock in Ujung area of the Tanjung Perak port explained that after a series of sea trials lasting for 3 days, followed by commodore inspection, this ship is proven to be qualified. The production process of the ship has run as per schedule. The ship was built into 23 months and is equipped with 2 landing craft utility and a capacity to carry 700 passengers. The hospital ship has a speed of 60 knots with 2 2920 kilowatts boosters. It can sail for 30 days and transport 3 helicopters, 2 landing craft, vehicle personnel, LCVP vessels, and some fighting vehicles. Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi signed a Memorandum of Understanding MOU with Timor-Leste's Minister of Transportation and Communication Jose Agustino da Silva. The deal aims at improving Indonesian and Timor-Leste airlines. Budi Karya believes the cooperation can encourage economic, trade, and tourism growth between the two countries. In a written statement received by Tempo.com on Monday, Minister Budi said that this meeting is expected to further encourage economic growth and the quality of human resources, both in Indonesia and Timor-Leste. Budi also said that if there is a future growth in the market demand, the transportation capacity of the two countries, the governments will consider further improvement efforts. The two countries also signed an MOU in the field of education and training for the transportation sector. The Indonesian Transportation Ministry will provide education and skills training programs, infrastructure facilities, and infrastructure in accordance with the agreement. This news comes to you over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Forestry and Environment Ministry will summon the East Nusa Tenggara Administration to discuss its plan to close Komodo National Park for a year. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Forestry and Environment Minister Siti Nurbaya Bakar on Monday stated that the government will invite the East Nusa Tenggara government. It will not be good if the decision to close the national park is taken unilaterally. She said the ministry will learn from the local government and tourism ministry regarding the issue and seek a solution, including a transition period. Currently, the Komodo National Park is under the management of the Forestry and Environment Ministry. She has urged the Director General of Natural Resources Conservation and Ecosystem to check the issue as the authority to manage the national park is with the central government. The local administration can discuss it with the central government for inputs on the management of the national park. Indonesia enters the list of favorite tourism destination for travelers from China during the Lunar New Year holiday season. As quoted by Antara News Agency, the largest online-based travel agency, Tiongkok Sea Trip, in its release on Monday stated that 2 major categories of vacation destinations for travelers from mainland China, namely avoiding and searching for cold air objects. Indonesia is one of the destination countries for Chinese travelers who want a vacation in a warm place besides Thailand and Mauritius. In 2018, Indonesia received about 2.7 million Chinese tourist visits, according to the Ministry of Tourism's target revision following a series of earthquakes in Lombok, Central Sulawesi, Banten, and Lampung, plus a plane crash. In 2019, the Ministry of Tourism targets 3.5 million Chinese travelers who will experience the peak of the Chinese holiday period for 40 days starting Monday. And the last item, state-owned logistic company Perum Bulog announced that a number of Southeast Asian countries are willing to attain Indonesia's mid-2019 rice export. As quoted by Tempo.co, Perum Bulog President Director Budi Waseso, in a meeting with the Commission 5 House of Representatives DPR at Senayan in Jakarta on Monday, said that he has communicated with 3 countries ready to purchase Indonesia's rice exports. However, he did not reveal the total amount of rice that will be exported. Some countries they contacted are ready to make the purchase. What's clear is that the ASEAN is ready. Indonesia's rice exports are central to maximize the country's rice export absorption in the wake of the grand harvest that will take place from April to May. The state-owned logistic company Bulog must absorb the rice products for the benefit of the farmers once the grand harvest arrives. Bulog will push for more exports. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian citizens' votes in conflict areas still reachable. Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs appreciates the hard work of the discovery team of Lion Air PKLQP. And listeners, that's the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Here's commentary for today entitling Expensive Airfares. As an archipelagic state, traveling by plane is a favorite choice for Indonesian people. Besides of being able to take us to reach our destination effectively, traveling by plane is considered to be more efficient and safer than other means of transportation. However, within the past 3 weeks in 2019, public was startled by the news about the spike of airfares applied for all domestic airlines. Although the Christmas and New Year holidays, which were said to be the peak season, have ended, airfares have not yet decreased. It is even more shocking that the prices skyrocketed 2 times higher than the previous months. Some people who do not agree with the policy, especially from East Indonesia, complain about the ticket price spike on their social media. They need to spend more budget to pay for domestic flight ticket. In addition to the ticket spike, the condition gets worse as passengers need to pay for additional baggage. Passengers who carry more baggage need to pay extra. The ticket spike impacts not only passengers, but also the tourism sector of Indonesia. The growth of Indonesia's tourism sector definitely relies on air transportation, as 80% of tourists choose to travel by plane. Public also worry that the airfare spike will disrupt government's target to lure more tourists to visit Indonesia by 2019. The Indonesian government targets 20 million tourists to visit Indonesia. It will be a challenging task for the Indonesian government, considering in November 2018, only 14.4 million tourists visited Indonesia. The government is also trying to attract more local tourists. They target 275 million domestic tourists by 2019. The airfare spike potentially impedes the government to achieve the target. The additional baggage fee will also impact trade sector. Tourists will deliberate whether they will buy any gifts or not due to the extra baggage price. The policy will hamper the growth of small and medium enterprises as the producers of gifts for the tourist. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in history, we are going to go back over 100 years to St. Petersburg, Russia, where unarmed protesters petitioning Tsar Nicholas II were shot by the soldiers of the Imperial Guard. At the time of the protest, Russian workers were among the lowest paid in Europe and were sometimes made to work 15 hours a day. They were also angry about the continuing war with Japan. The Bloody Sunday incident, as it became known, led to a big loss of support for the Tsar and is considered one of the pivotal events that led to the Russian Revolution. The number of people killed remains uncertain, with the Tsar officials claiming 92 deaths, eyewitnesses claiming 200 deaths, and revolutionary groups claiming even more casualties. Next in Today in History is January the 22nd, 1905. On this day, one of the framers of the 1945 Constitution, Professor Dr. Supomo, was born. Supomo, who would be Indonesia's first Minister of Justice, was known as the architect of the 1945 Constitution, along with Muhammad Yamin and President Sukarno. Born in Sukaharjo, Central Jawa on 1903, Supomo would go to school in Boyolali and Jakarta and study 3 years at Leiden University in the Netherlands. Coming from a priayi or noble family, he became an activist and supporter of the independence movement. He died of a heart attack in 1958 and was buried in Solo. After his death, he was declared a national hero by President Sukarno, the highest title bestowed of an individual by the state of Indonesia. I'll end Today in History with the inauguration of Evo Morales, elected president of Bolivia on January the 22nd, 2006, becoming the first president from an indigenous Indian background. Morales, born from a family of subsistence farmers, increased his popularity with the protests of the Rural Laborers Union. He is the leader of the Movement for Socialism Party and has implemented a range of policies aimed at addressing inequality in the nation, including a sharp increase of social spending paid for by increased taxes on the natural gas exporting companies. Juan Evo Morales Ayma was president of Bolivia, who was sworn in on January the 22nd, 2006, and became the first native to have served as head of state since Spanish occupation more than 470 years ago. Morales is the leader of the Movement for Socialism Party, who involved in the gas war together with many other groups usually referred to as social movements. That was Today in History. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the world on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Welcome back to My Indonesia, entitling Asian countries to intensify cooperation. Member of states of ASEAN agreed to intensify sustainable cooperation in a bid to achieve the stability and well-being of the Asian people. One of the ways to achieve the mission is by establishing Asian community that encourages the participations of millennial generations. The agreement was made by Asian Foreign Affairs Ministers at the Asian Foreign Ministers Retreat, which took place in Chiang Mai, Thailand, on Friday. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi was present at the meeting. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi said that the foreign ministers at the AMM meeting discussed the working programs and priorities of the ASEAN in 2019 under Thailand's leadership. The Advancing Partnerships for Sustainability theme meeting also discussed a number of issues comprising pertaining to development, climate change, and connectivity. In a bid to face various challenges on sustainable development, Asian Foreign Affairs Ministers agreed to support complementarity and more intensive cooperation so that visions of Asian Community 2025 and the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development can be achieved. Furthermore, the Asian Foreign Affairs Minister also discussed the process of Asian community establishment in developing people's understanding about Asian. Regarding the efforts, ASEAN will form network of Asian associations to raise people's awareness of ASEAN in all member states by involving academicians and social organizations. When discussing the process of establishing ASEAN community, Minister Retno Marsudi affirmed the importance of taking millennial generations to contribute for the establishment of ASEAN community. To persuade more Indonesian young generation to concern on ASEAN community, Minister Retno suggested ASEAN carrying out ASEAN Young Ambassador competition every year. In the discussion of 2019 ASEAN working programs, Minister Retno pointed out the importance of women's contribution for the regional peace and security. Minister Retno said that women have capability to contribute to keeping the stability and security of ASEAN region. In conjunction to the point, the Indonesian government will hold training for women on peace and security in March 2019. Ahead. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Niko Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Setahun kita berpisah.
Voice of Indonesia.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, we will take you to explore one of the cultural heritages in Indonesia, named Waruga Site in North Minahasa. Stay tuned. Waruga Sawangan is an ancient tomb of Minahasa people in the Megalithic era. Situated behind local people's houses and lands in North Minahasa, Waruga historical site seems to be secluded. The history of Waruga site in Minahasa approximately dated back in the beginning of the 13th BC. Waruga was found for the first time in several locations such as Bukit Klewer Hill, Timan, and Tumaluntung, North Minahasa. Since then, Waruga site continued to develop in other regions in North Sulawesi until the beginning of the 20th century. In prehistoric period, Minahasa people believed that the spirit of their ancestors had magical power, therefore their burials ought to be designed remarkably. Waruga was built neither by the relatives nor the families of the dead, but it was built by the person who would face the death. When the person felt like he was about to die, he would voluntarily enter his burial with all his possessions. If the person sincerely performed the ritual, it would bring goodness for his family. Actually, in North Sulawesi, there are many Waruga sites. One of them is located at Sawangan Village, Armadidi Subdistrict, North Minahasa Regency. Thank you.
word Waruga is derived from Tombulu language, namely from the syllables of Wali Maruga, meaning house made from decaying body. Waruga also has other meanings, namely Wali Waru or burial, from Domato or a type of clay. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder. See you on our next edition. Sampai jumpa.
Dirimu menghilang, terakus
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the world on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, an audio Indonesian lesson. Today, I will introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and phrases for you to try in conversation. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, the Agency for Language Development, and the Indonesian Ministry for Educating and Culture. Today's topic is, apakah ada transportasi umum or is there any public transport? Today's topic is, apakah ada transportasi umum or is there any public transport? Now we will practice a conversation. Tony from England is sitting next to Sinta from Indonesia. They are on the same plane traveling to Yogyakarta. Tony, apakah di Jogja ada transportasi umum? Sinta, ya ada. Tony, ada apa saja? Sinta, ada Trans Jogja, taksi, kereta, dan bus kota. Tony, oh ya? Di sana juga ada beca. Ya, beca. Di sana juga ada beca. Today's topic is, apakah ada transportasi umum or is there any public transport? Now let's break down the related words. I will say them 2 times and you can repeat after me. Apakah di Jogja ada transportasi umum? Apakah di Jogja ada transportasi umum, which means, is there public transport in Jogja? Trans Jogja. Trans Jogja, which means Trans Jogja. Taxi, which means taxi. Kereta. Kereta, which means train. Kereta cepat. Kereta cepat, which means fast train. Bus kota. Bus kota, which means city bus. Di sana, di sana, which means there. Beca, beca, which means pedicab. To ask if a city has public transport, say, apakah di Jogja ada transportasi umum? Apakah di Jogja ada transportasi umum, which means, is there public transport in Jogja? If you want to ask what type of public transport a city has, such as fast train, say, apakah di Jogja ada kereta cepat? Apakah di Jogja ada kereta cepat, which means, is there a fast train in Jogja? To tell, confirm a city has public transport, say, ya, ada. Ya, ada, which means, yes, there is. To answer in full, say, ya, di Jogja ada transportasi umum. Ya, di Jogja ada transportasi umum, which means yes, in Yogyakarta there is public transport. Or ya, di Jogja ada kereta cepat. Ya, di Jogja ada kereta cepat, which means yes, in Jogja there is a fast train. If it's not there, you can say tidak ada. Tidak ada, which means none. To ask about what type of public transport a city has, say ada apa saja. Ada apa saja, which means what public transport are there. Possible answers include ada bus kota. Ada bus kota, which means there are city buses. And ada kereta api. Ada kereta api, which means there are trains. Before ending, let's speak Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian today. For more details, let's listen to the example of the conversation once more. Apakah di Jogja ada transportasi umum? Ya, ada. Ada apa saja? Ada Trans Jogja, taksi, kereta, dan bus kota. Oh ya? Di sana juga ada beca. Ya, beca. Di sana juga ada beca. That was today's edition of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, we've improved your Indonesian today. See you tomorrow for a brand new topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi or till we meet again.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, we present a Malay song titled Zapin Melayu. Zapin is a song used to accompany the traditional Malay dance. It is popular in North Sumatra, Riau, Jambi, South Sumatra, and Bengkulu as a traditional ethnic dance. It is a dance with a quick pace, named after the fast dance movements that harmonized with the rhythm of the instrument. The song, which was composed by Malaysian composer and arranger Pak Ngah, tells about tragic histories like other melody songs. Listener, here is Zapin Melayu, sung by Iyet Bustami. Happy listening.
Melayu, Laksmana Raja di laut, bersemayam di bukit batu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at @voiindonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.